This morning's sermon is called Expect Persecution from the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 18 through 27. As we continue to go through the Gospel of John chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We left off with Jesus talking about friendship last Sunday. That when we become saved, God adopts us into his family, and we become a friend of God's, a good friend to have, amen? We become a friend of God's. Oh, that just sounds so good. And now, Jesus warns us of the persecution that will come because we are friends of his. That being a follower of Jesus Christ can bring persecution, rejection, and sometimes hatred. This is a very sobering passage that we're going to go through this morning. Jesus has been telling us in the scripture about his love that he gives us, his love, his peace, his joy, that we will inherit from the Father since becoming part of God's family. But now Jesus shifts and he starts to tell us what we will inherit from the world. Persecution. Some worse than others. If you brought your Bible with you, please turn to the Gospel of John chapter 15 as we go through the Word of God. Gospel of John chapter 15. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's take a look at verses 18 through 19. Jesus continued this ongoing conversation. This is on Thursday night before he goes to the cross. Jesus continued with, in verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you." Wow. Huh? Those are pretty strong words from the Lord. This is a real sobering passage this morning. When the Bible speaks of the world, this is important for you to understand, and you probably know. It's not talking about the globe. It's not talking about the earth. It's talking about the world system that we live in that opposes God. Okay, that's what it's talking about. The world system. Those who want nothing to do with God and sometimes want nothing to do with you because you belong to God. That's that world system, okay? The Bible speaks of two kingdoms, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. Two different kingdoms, total opposites. The kingdom of the world is in rebellion against God and all those who belong to God. Jesus is saying, hey, guys and girls, since becoming my disciple, since I've been your teacher, you have been my friends, but because you are my friends, you are going to join me in my sufferings. That's what the Lord's talking to us this morning, right through his word. And his disciples, they suffered dearly. And you and I, we're going to suffer as well from time to time. Persecution, rejection, and sometimes hatred for being a follower of Jesus Christ. Has this happened to you? Has this ever happened to you out there and you just got rejected? They found out, oh, he loves Jesus. I'm all upset. No? Can't be just me. You must not be sharing your faith as much. Jesus tells us, belonging to me, this is important. Jesus tells us, belonging to me is going to bring you love, peace, and joy, okay? Many spiritual blessings from the Lord, but I want you to know there's going to be a cost of belonging to me in this world. Being my friend, being my disciple, being my follower, belonging to my kingdom, you are going to join me in sufferings. Have you ever lost any friends since coming to Christ? Want nothing to do with you. Once we are joined to Jesus, once we are joined to Christ, we receive his love, his peace, his joy, but from the world, we can often receive rejection and sometimes persecution and sometimes hatred. Jesus is telling us this morning in his word, I want you to be prepared for this, that it's going to be no surprise because I've taken you out of this world. You belong to God, his kingdom now. You've been, since coming to Christ and surrendering your life to Christ, you have been transformed from one kingdom to another, to the kingdom of God. No longer a kingdom of this dark world, the kingdom of God. And Jesus tells us in verse 19, he says, why the world hates those who belong to his kingdom. Jesus says in 19, if you were of the world, or if you belong to the world, the world would love its own. They would love you. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. These are Jesus' words, by the way, guys, not mine. Okay? This is God speaking to the world. Not Pastor Sean. I'm just his messenger. He's called me to his pulpit to preach his word. Teach his word and glorify him. His word. There's the reason right there. Because you belong to the kingdom of God and you are not of this kingdom. That's why they hate you. That's why they reject you. The world, okay, outside the body of Christ, the world, this rebellious world is actively against God. Which means they're not going to like you either. Or me. That's why when you start talking to people about how much you love Jesus, they change the subject. Have you been there? You start talking about Jesus. Maybe you're at the coffee shop. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're a Christian? Yeah, start talking about Jesus. Yeah. Well, it's time for me to go. My coffee's ready. See ya. Just go to one of your high school reunions. Go there. They'll high-five you when you come through the door. You start talking about Jesus? Better yet, bring your Bible. You'll be sitting alone. You'll be sitting alone. This is why the world has a hard time tolerating you and me, because we belong to another kingdom. We belong. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, many people are troubled by the gospel because it interferes with their sin. Many are troubled. Jesus says if you were of the world, listen, if you were of the world would love you. Because you are one of them. You haven't been persecuted. You haven't been rejected because you're of the world. And they love you for it. In other words, if you act like the world, you talk like the world, you cuss like the world, you sin like the world, they're going to love you. Because you're of the world, not of God. But Jesus says, but you are not of the world. You are no longer belong to it because I've taken you out of the world. Therefore, the world system that opposes me is against you. You know, in our last text, our last passage last Sunday, verses 9 through 17, the word love is used 9 times. Right? to speak of God's love for you, your love for him, love for one another. It's the love of God. Now Jesus shifts, and verses 18 through 25, we see the word hate, seven times. You see him, see Jesus shifts now? He says, he promises and promises all these blessings, He says, but I want you to know something. Being in this world, I chose you out. He shifts and wants us to know what to expect. Because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and to obey him in this world will bring persecution, rejection, and sometimes hatred. Listen, especially when you start preaching and teaching the biblical Jesus Christ. The biblical Jesus Christ. Not this, not the Hollywood fantasy Jesus, right? Everything's great, right? Oh, you're going to be gonna bless you 10 times this week. No. You start preaching the biblical Jesus Christ, and you will be rejected. And Jesus tells us, be prepared for this. No surprise, right? John wrote in his first epistle, he said, do not marvel, my brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, if the world hates you. Right? John 3:13, the world hates you because you love Jesus. The world hates you because you love Jesus. They reject you for loving Jesus. He says, guys, don't be surprised. Don't be amazed. Don't be amazed if they do. Right? Don't be amazed if you don't fit in with the world. Be more amazed if you do. All right, let's look at verse 20 and 21. Jesus said, remember the word which I said to you, a servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. For if they keep my word, they'll keep yours also. But all these things they will do for you, do to you because of my name's sake. He's saying because you bear my name. Look at right here. Because they do not know him who sent me. Here's another reason of persecution or rejection. At the end of verse 22, because they do not know God. If they had known God, it'd be a completely different situation, Jesus says. They do not know the Father. Right? Jesus says, they do not know him who sent me. They do not know the Father. Otherwise, it would be different. Right? The Apostle Paul wrote in his... The Apostle Paul's last letter to his dear friend Timothy, his second letter to Timothy, he wrote this to Timothy. This was his last letter, by the way, before he died. He said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. One way or another, you will suffer persecution if you live a godly life in Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul wrote. Did you notice he said? He said, he didn't say you might. He said, you will. Unless you live a private Christian life, which is dangerous in the sight of the Lord. What does it mean to live a godly life in Christ Jesus? I'm glad you asked. So glad you asked. It means to choose to live your life after the Word of God. Loving God with all your heart and your soul, your mind and your strength. Walking in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And wanting to live for God. Wanting to please God. And when you live a godly life in Christ Jesus and proclaim the biblical Jesus Christ, the world will despise you. Awful, huh? After all, the gospel solution is narrow. There is only one hope for man's sin. There is only one way to get to heaven. There is only one name in whom you can be forgiven. And his name is Jesus Christ. Now, that's good news if you want to become saved. If not, It's offensive, and it produces anger. People don't like to hear that they're sinners and they need a Savior. People don't like to be told that they're doomed for judgment without Christ, but that's what the Bible says. They don't want to hear it. They hate God. And I'll add this. They do not fear God, and they do not fear hell. Tragic. When Christians start to proclaim the biblical Jesus Christ and start talking about truth, about sexuality, sin, the judgment to come, hell, the world will respond in hatred. I told you this is a sobering passage. This isn't nothing like last Sunday. Jesus shifts now because he wants us to understand what we are up against in this world system. Do you see how much of a blessing it is to have Christian friends? Huh? Do you see how much of a blessing it is to have Christian friends? Cherish them. I'm telling you right now, cherish them. Love them. Be good to them, because it's hard finding good Christian friends in this world we live in. Amen? Don't take them for granted. Love on them. They are rare. Let's look at verse 22 and 23. Jesus says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, the guilt of their sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He's speaking about accountability. He who hates me hates my Father also. Wow, that's just strong words, right, from the Lord? He who hates me hates my Father. Now, verse 22 and 24, they go together, so I want you to, if you can bounce to our next slide, verse 24 and 25, because these two verses go together, 22 and 24. Jesus said, right, in verse 22, he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. Verse 24, he says, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. Same things, right? My word, my works, as in the guilt of their sin. But now, they have seen, he says, my works and my miracles, and also, or still, hate both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. Jesus was the most perfect man that ever lived. He is. He was so loving and so kind. And they hated him for no cause. Why? Because he spoke the truth. And when you speak the truth in this dying world, they may hate you too. In verse 22, when Jesus said, if I had not come and spoke to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Verse 24, if I had not done the works among them, they would have no sin, but they seen. I want to give you an example in the scriptures of this very thing. If you brought your Bible with you, go to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. I'm going to give you an example of this in the scriptures, what Jesus is talking about. Maybe this will make a little more sense. Go to Matthew chapter 9. And I want you to keep in mind that Jesus said, I came and I gave you my word and I showed you my power. Two proofs of deity and authority that Jesus is God in the flesh. Go to Matthew chapter 9. I want you to go to verse 2. Verse 2. We're going to read down to verse 7. This is about Jesus. You guys know the story. Jesus heals the paralyzed man. Look what it says, verse 2. Then behold, they brought to Jesus a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Because he saw their faith, were saved by faith. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes, saying, Your sins are forgiven. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, because he's God, he knows all of our thoughts, right, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus said to the paralytic, Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he rose and departed to his house. His word, he showed him his words. He said, Your sins are forgiven. Now all these religious leaders, these hypocrites, right, who are always challenging him, knew that only God could forgive sins. Okay? So when he said, Your sins are forgiven, they were like, talk is cheap. Right? They're like, yeah, whatever. He said their sins are forgiven. Doesn't mean they are. Okay? Then he showed him his power. He turned to the paralyzed man and says, Arise and walk and go home. He gave him his words. He showed him his power because he knew in their hearts they didn't believe him, that he was God. And so he says, Fine, you don't believe that I can forgive sins? I'm going to show you my power. He tells the man, Rise, walk. He showed them his word and he showed them his power and they rejected both. They rejected both. So now in our passage, Jesus says, They are without excuse. Follow me now. He says, they are with no excuse. I told them my word. I showed them my power. And they rejected both. They have no excuse. Powerful how he teaches us this in the Bible. They have no excuse for their sins. And people are still rejecting Christ. Can you believe it? Let's take a look at our final two verses. Then we'll go ahead. We'll take communion. Let's look at verses 26 and 27. Here's the good news. Jesus said, But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from my Father, he will testify of me, and you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus, I love this. Jesus is saying, I know that I put you in a hard place, being my friend. I know this. I know what's going on in the world. Very evil. He says, I know this. I know that living in this world can be difficult because you belong to the kingdom of God. But I want you to know I have sent you a helper. The Holy Spirit of truth. He's going to come alongside you in this world. He's going to live within you. And he's going to help you. So don't think you're doing this alone, Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus says, listen, since you surrendered your life to me, and I know you mean it, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit to live within you. And he's going to help you in this very dark world. He's coming from the Father to you. He's going to come live right alongside you. So when you're persecuted and you're rejected and sometimes hated, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will give you the strength. Just keep bearing my name till you see me in heaven. You know what Jesus is saying? I also want to understand. I want you to understand. I know your weaknesses. I know you're weak in the flesh. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live in you, who's going to help you get through those weaknesses that you just don't have the strength to get over. Whatever it may be, drugs, alcohol, porn, gambling, whatever it is this world brings that God hates. He says, those things that I know you're weak, you men with wandering eyes, looking at other women, lusting after another woman. He says, I know you're weak, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit so you do not do these things. Wow. You know, the world is always trying to suppress the truth, right? Did you guys live in the same world as I am? Can I get some amen somewhere? I can't be the only one stuck here. The world out there is always trying to suppress the truth. I mean, good grief, they're trying to convince you guys there's more than two genders. When God said, I made male and female. The world is drenched in deceptions and lies, and Jesus says, I'm going to send you a helper. He's going to see it through for you. You don't have to do this alone. And remember this, he who is in you is greater than what? He who is in the world. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us. This is a very sobering passage, very sobering, but we need to hear everything from you, Lord, the good and the bad. This way here, we'll appreciate your grace so much more. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you